When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. In the name of Jesus. Amen. This setting of the face of Jesus is the highlight of the whole passage today. It is the beeline to get to Jerusalem. And the taken up thereof is the rising up of Jesus on the cross. This is where his face was set to go, and there was no turning back. Now, this is the entire purpose and setting of the journey of Jesus. A journey. As the 1970s band by the same name wrote some lyrics that you might think would be fitting for us if we were there watching Jesus set his face to Jerusalem. You might go, "Baby, come back. You can blame it all on me." But if Jesus heard you sing that, he'd have said, "I know, but I'm going to take the blame for you. There's no turning back." Now, geographically speaking, going through Samaria was a shortcut between Galilee and Jerusalem. But it was one that the Jews normally didn't take, though, because of their hatred for the Samaritans, the bigotry that the two passed on each other. But when Jesus sent messengers ahead to prepare the way for him, they, of course, did not receive him. And why? Because his face was set toward Jerusalem. See, they too, like us, have a hard time with the Jesus journey. And here's where the action gets riveting. James and John, the sons of thunder, want to rain fire down from heaven on them. Do you ever want to do that? Rain fire down on someone? Sure you have. Or perhaps you've thought by your own actions that God himself would send fire down on you, strike you with lightning. And that's okay, because there's a self-evaluation tool to examine where your own face is set in the journey that we call life. If you feel that way, that's okay. That's the spirit inside of you, your gut telling you, wait, check yourself. But the boys calling for judgment is no doubt their reminiscence of Sodom and Gomorrah, where God did burn those cities to the ground. But here Jesus rebukes them. What? Say that again. Jesus rebuked them. You mean Jesus went around rebuking people? That's right. When it had to be done, and it has to be done. Because they turned back to the pastime. They looked back. But did they recall what happened when Lot's wife at the same event looked back? She turned into a pillar of salt. And no, Lot didn't take her home and put her on his eggs the next morning for breakfast. But in all seriousness, it is the turning back that we must be watchful for. But weren't they just turning back to something God did? Yes, which was a judgment call that wasn't theirs to make. Jesus is on the scene now, the one who makes peace, not only with God, but also with people. And in Christ, all who repent are fully reconciled to the Father. Even when there is antagonism between relations, repentance is the way to set your face aright. And this goes not only for our past evil ways, but also for those things in our lives for which we have regret for. How we ended up where we are today. Mistakes, consequences that we can't take back. But do not strive for what you cannot change. Just change your attitude. The disciples still had much to learn about Christ-like attitudes. Christ-like attitudes that our Bible calls the cost of following Jesus. But there is no cost, not in monetary form, for Jesus pays it all. It would be better titled, "The Right Priorities of Following Jesus," rather than the cost of following Jesus. Because as they were going along the road, someone says to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And to that, Jesus essentially says, "You sure about that? I don't even have a place to sleep, not even a den or a nest. Are you ready to walk this kind of way?" And then Jesus will turn to another, "How about you? Follow me." All right, but let me first go. Let me first go and bury my father. But that's a legitimate request, right? Jesus must just be moody at that time because he responds, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. As for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." But here Jesus initiates the call, but with a challenge. The gospel never tells us of anyone offering to follow Jesus and then successfully becoming a disciple. Another one on the road called out, "I'll follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Another seemingly fair request. Jesus says to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." "Okay, Jesus, settle down. We're going to have a meeting about this afterwards. Just can't go around talking to people like that." But Jesus is reordering our values and priorities. Our relationships to be put above the kingdom of God. More directly, is the church first about creating relationships over having a place in the kingdom of God, where he makes us members of his eternal communion? May it never be. Your friends and family with each other, you are now already because you're a member of the church. You don't need to make friends here. You're born into the family of God. You're already brothers and sisters in Christ. You do not need to achieve that status. You need to first and foremost receive the communion of God, that we may attain the heavenly dwellings where the members of Christ live together forever. But none of that is possible without the Lord rescuing us from the captivity of our sins. Those things we turn back to, which oppress us and thus get in the way of the kingdom. We do not turn back. Whether in work or in play, we too need to set our face to Jerusalem. And this must come before everything else, because there beams the place of nourishment towards the cross, nourishment of goodness, nourishment of love. So no one works for the kingdom of God, puts their hand to the plow. The kingdom of God comes as it is seen in Christ lifted up, because for him there was no turning back. And the mission is that of going forward. Once you begin to walk with Jesus, that's what you long for before other people, places, and things. The people, places, and things are just a bonus feature procured on the cross, that you may be free to live out relationships with one another, not opposed, but led. Now, speaking of the word led, it reminds me of in VBS this past week, one of the daily themes was being either a leader or a guide. When asked, which one would you rather do, the majority sitting there in the pews of the church, if not all of them, the kids said, "I want to be the leader." The scope was based around going on an adventure, the Australian outback as the backdrop for VBS this year. But then I asked, what if a helicopter comes, gets you, and takes you to the middle of the adventure land, middle of nowhere, just leaves you there to be the leader? Yeah, it brings some people with you, but you said you want to be the leader, but you don't know where to go, and you can easily get lost. Everybody with you then becomes scared. "Do you still want to be the leader?" That's what I asked them. And to that, a young boy in the front sat up and said, "Well then, no, I want to be number two." The follower, not the leader. Ah, so when it comes to Jesus in this journey, as he is with you wherever you go, would you rather him lead or you? They learn fast. Jesus led. We don't get in front of him, we step behind him. That is the true definition of a disciple. Write that down. A disciple is someone who gets in step behind Jesus, and then goes with Jesus to the cross, goes with Jesus to the grave, and goes with Jesus to new and everlasting life. Raised up when the days draw near to being lifted up, where you will set your face. Even though there is calamity in the world going on, of course, and it will continue, dens and nests are not the priority. Jesus is. Proclaiming Jesus, making preparations for him, receiving him when he comes, that's the priority of the church, to come and receive him. And it is enough simply just to do that and then leave the other things behind. Simply means behind you, not looking back to your work, not looking back to what you can't raise up, not even looking back to those who you didn't get to say goodbye to. They're there. They were there. They may still be there in the behind you part of life, but Jesus is here. And this is the way. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whether you turn to the right or you turn to the left. No turning back, though, just simply listening, leaning in from the right shoulder to the left. And here springs up for you the good grain, the place of produce and of clean things. So here we have to beeline to Jerusalem, the journey of no turning back. Just Jesus for you, who makes known the path of life and where in his presence is fullness of joy. See, he's giving out the pleasures. He's giving out pleasures forevermore. And folks, that's just something we can't live without. No turning back. In the name of Jesus. Amen.